Well, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Matthew 13, please. I'm going to read some verses there that brings us to the end of this parable, which we have been reading. We'll read from verse 38 of chapter 13 of Matthew. The field is the world. The Savior's explaining the parable now. That's something the Lord always does, boys and girls. If you come on a passage in the Bible and you say, what does this mean? You have but to ask. You have but to ask. The disciples came and asked, what does this mean, Lord? And he told them. He told them. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which shall do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. May the Lord bless his word. Have you ears to hear today? Have you ears to really hear what it is the Savior saying? May you hear. Now, as I've said, we're coming to the end of our study of this parable. We have been thinking over the last few assembly meetings of the fact that we have to put up with the presence of the devil and his crowd, the tares, in the field. We might like to try and get rid of them, but in the parable, the workers who wanted to get rid of the tares were told, no, let them both grow together until the harvest. Boys and girls, I want to solemnly tell you, there is a day of reckoning. There's a day of recompense. And a day of reward. Recompense for sinners who have defied God, broken His law, and mocked God, laughed at God. And there's also a day of reward for those who, by God's grace, humbled themselves before the Lord and sought to walk to His pleasing. Now, could I just remind you of that day? We've read it already here. Listen to what it says. Verse 41, the Son of Man, that's the Savior's wonderful title, or one of them, shall send forth his angels. The day will come in the will of God. You hear a lot of people today talking about climate change and the ice caps melting. You hear others who belong to the lunatic fringe, to use an expression that was born some years ago, who warn of great asteroids, etc., striking the earth and ending it all. And out there, there are all sorts of loonies who predict these things. I was reading the other day, there's a man who believes that the moon is 4.7 miles away. That's half the distance Dennis Gillen. So if you put half the distance Dennis Gillen and stood up on his end, it would be touching the moon. Crackers. Nuts. But these people grab the headlines, and there's any amount of people who believe them and say, you know, I always thought that. Well, the world will not end by any of these catastrophes that men predict. These things are in the hands of the Lord. And when He is ready, and when His purpose has been fulfilled, then He will bring in a day of reckoning. We're told, and I want to say this so that each one of you who are saved here today bear this in mind. I want you to notice where the Savior says, verse 43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Now, we've read a couple of verses above this verse 43. You've read of the end of the tares. Where they're going, they're going to be burned. What's the price of defying God? The everlasting burning. None of you have ever seen chaff set on fire. I can remember when the thrashing machine came into the field and the corn was thrashed, there was a big heap of chaff left. And the best way to get rid of it was to set it on fire. And do you know that because of the nature of the chaff and how densely it sat together, it would burn for days and days and days, just mouldering away until it was all consumed. What a picture of the everlasting burnings. The burnings of the wicked that will never have an end. Never have an end. Now listen, God is never careless in his speech. You and I can be careless. We use words that when someone challenges us about them, we say, well, I didn't really mean that. Well, that's what you said, but I didn't really mean that. God never says one word that he doesn't fully mean. And when he talks about the everlasting burnings into which the wicked will be cast, he means every phrase, every syllable of that statement. It's an awful thing to be lost without Christ, boys and girls. And do you know part of the burnings and the sufferings of that place of everlasting hell to which the lost are going? An element of the sufferings of the lost for all eternity will be, for many of them, the memory of someone standing before them as I am standing before you today and warning them of the everlasting burnings. I can only begin to imagine what it would be like for someone lost forever in hellfire, remembering clearly the warnings of the gospel they received, feeling and sensing again how their hearts were moved and they were troubled. And they were inclined to give thought to this warning and obey it, but they didn't. What will it be like for them throughout eternity to remember that warning and how they felt and how they nearly did what was right? Oh, boys and girls, don't nearly obey God. Don't feel within your heart, I should obey God, but obey God, obey God. And obey the gospel. How different it will be for the people of God on that day. It says, and I've read it to you, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun. Now, I said God never exaggerates. And when he speaks about the punishment of the wicked, he never exaggerates. And when he speaks of the rewards of the righteous, he doesn't exaggerate, boys and girls. He doesn't. God's people have a glorious future. It says we shall shine forth as the sun. Let me give you two references. One in the Old Testament, verse 1 of chapter 12 of Daniel, and at that time. That's always important, boys and girls. God's putting down a marker for you. He's telling you when this is going to happen. What he's about to reveal to us in this verse 1 of chapter 12 is going to happen at a certain time. And if you were to look up into the last verses of the previous chapter, you will find the time referred to is the time when Antichrist will rise up in utter defiance of God. And as Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he shall set himself up in the temple that will be in Jerusalem and declare himself to be God. It's at that time of the world's course, the world's experience, that he shall bring to pass the events of chapter 12 and the verse 1. At that time shall Michael, that's the archangel, stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, that's the Jews, every one that shall be found written in the book, the elect of God. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. That's the resurrection that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. They shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's two resurrections, you see. Resurrection of the just, and then the resurrection of the unjust, which will follow sometime after. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That's the future if you're saved. If you're not saved, would you not want to be saved? Given that this is what the future for the Christian is. And if you are saved, since God has planned this for you, how thankful you should ever be. You should be ever so happy at the thought, this is what lies before me. This is where I'm going. This is what I will experience. There's an old hymn, the people of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. And so they have. There was a little Cornish miner who, whenever he appeared, he was singing. And oftentimes when you met him on the road, he would be skipping on the road. I'm not talking about somebody who was 10 or 11 or 12. I'm talking about a man who was middle-aged. But he was singing and skipping. Why? Because he had a bright view of what was coming to him. And I'll tell you at this minute, I'm inclined to think that he's singing and skipping as he never, never did in the lanes of Cornwall. There's a wee verse in Philippians I'd like you to look at. It tells us the same thing as that which is stated in Daniel chapter 12, the opening verses. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation. Now today that word conversation usually means or refers to a verbal exchange between us. When you and I meet, we have a conversation. We talk to one another. But it is a word that has a broader meaning. A broader meaning. It refers, in the New Testament context, to our way of life. Not just how we talk, but how we live. How we live. For our conversation, our way of life is in heaven. We try to live a heavenly life here on earth as Christians. From whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change. You see, he's in charge. He's in charge. Who shall change our vile body. Oh. And there was you looking in the mirror this morning and saying, what a handsome chap. Or what a lovely lady. And here is the word of God speaking of our bodies as vile. I don't know or care how you look. There's corruption within us. And we are vile. We're sinful. It's a moral vileness. That it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. How great will be the change? Well, there's two indications there just of how great it will be. Firstly, we're told that we shall be fashioned like unto his glorious body. We're going to be like him. Just this morning, before I came here, I was doing my reading. Actually, it was yesterday morning. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. He's going to fashion us into his likeness, his glorious body. That's why Daniel spoke of us as shining as the firmament. All the glories that we look above and see, the shining sun, the shining moon, the glorious stars, we're going to shine brighter than they, because we're going to be made like Christ. But there's another indication in that verse of how great will be the change. It may be fashioned like unto his glory, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We're going to be changed according to the power of Christ. And he's able to do all things. There's no limit to what he can do. And therefore this change that will be wrought in us will be according to that limitless power. Oh, it's just staggering to think of what it is that lies before us. Oh yes, boys and girls, there's a day of reckoning. The wicked are going to face God. And for the children of God there will be rewards, and they shall shine forth in their Father's kingdom forever. If you're saved, that's what lies before you. And if you're saved and that lies before you, how you should seek to walk in the light of that truth. If this is where you're going, it should have an impact upon how you act and live today. Well, we didn't quite get finished. Maybe we'll get finished the next time we're together. There's a couple of other wee things we want to look at before we move on to another parable. Let's bow together, please, in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy. We can only, to a very small degree, imagine what it is, Lord, thou hast prepared for those that love thee. Lord, may we ever meditate upon it, and may it win our hearts to walk with thee. May we not look with admiration upon the world or anything it's doing, because nothing in the world compares with that which God has reserved for his people. Oh, keep us faithful through these things, we pray. Bless the school today. Touch the hearts of the boys and girls and bring each one under the rule of Christ. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.